In the heart of Depression-era Kentucky, a revolution unfolded on horseback. As economic devastation gripped America, the WPA launched an extraordinary experiment, a traveling library where women would deliver books to the most remote Appalachian communities. For Alice Wright, an English bride trapped in a loveless marriage in tiny Baileyville, this program offered escape from her suffocating life with Bennett Van Cleve and his domineering father. When the call for volunteers met silence at the town meeting, Alice surprised everyone, including herself, by raising her hand. That single act launched her into an adventure that would transform not just her life, but an entire region. Alongside the fiercely independent Marjorie O'Hare, Alice would discover that books could be more than entertainment. They could be lifelines, weapons against ignorance, and bridges between worlds. In these Kentucky mountains, where beauty and brutality lived side by side, a group of remarkable women would defy convention to bring literacy, hope, and unexpected freedom to those society had forgotten. Alice Wright's marriage to Bennett Van Cleve promised escape from her stifling English life, but delivered a more restrictive Kentucky household instead. Her honeymoon merely involved sharing a cabin with her father-in-law, with a bolster separating her and Bennett at night. The promised proper marriage never materialized. The Packhorse Library became Alice's salvation. Despite her fear of horses and tendency to get lost without Marjorie's red twine markers, she persevered. Each morning, she rose early while Bennett slept and joined a community defined by meaningful service. This community united unlikely companions. Marjorie O'Hare stood at the center, fiercely independent, scarred from her abusive father's legacy. Beth Pinker contributed mountain knowledge while dreaming beyond Kentucky. Izzy Brady joined with her pronounced limp, discovering freedom when Alice suggested removing her leg brace while riding. Sophia Kenworth, a black librarian, transformed their chaotic collection while working evenings behind bolted doors to avoid controversy. Through brutal winters, floods, and opposition, they persevered together. When Marjorie was jailed on murder charges, the librarian stood beneath her cell window singing, "Abide with Me," their bond proving stronger than the forces against them. Against Depression-era Appalachia's harsh backdrop, unexpected romances emerged. Marjorie O'Hare, determined to maintain independence after witnessing her parents' toxic relationship, found something different in Sven Gustafsson, the mine's fire captain. Though their attraction was powerful, Marjorie valued her freedom in my head to go where she pleased. When pregnancy surprised her, Marjorie gradually embraced this future, feeling connected to her baby during the devastating flood. Initially resistant, she eventually agreed to marry Sven, recognizing their love had created a family worth acknowledging. Alice's journey proved thornier. Her marriage to Bennett quickly revealed itself as hollow. When she attempted intimacy after reading Marie Stopes' book, Bennett reacted with disgust, demanding she be a lady, freezing their relationship into cold formality. Through her library work, Alice developed feelings for Fred Geisler, who treated her with genuine respect. Both maintained painful distance until after Marjorie's trial, when Fred discovered Alice's unconsummated marriage could be annulled, proving that even in restrictive circumstances, love could find a way forward. Throughout the mountains, books became powerful agents of transformation. The librarians' visits served as lifelines to knowledge, with children eagerly following them, while adults gradually overcame suspicion to request specific titles. Jim Horner, who initially threatened Alice with a rifle, later apologized when books helped his daughters after their mother's death. His bleak cabin brightened as 11-year-old May learned cooking from magazines. When Garrett Bly faced terminal illness, Alice's stories offered momentary escape. The library circulated practical knowledge that empowered women. Marie Stopes' book on marital relations passed secretly between women, transforming relationships throughout the county. The library network also enabled community resistance. Marjorie distributed letters warning neighbors about Hoffman's mining plans, urging them not to sign broad form deeds. Jeffrey Van Cleve, Baileyville's wealthiest mine owner, viewed the Packhorse Library as a threat. His opposition escalated from spreading rumors about sexual content to violence, having Marjorie's dog shot and framing her for murder. The Kentucky landscape functioned almost as a character itself, breathtakingly beautiful, yet potentially deadly. Alice absorbed the natural symphony around her while riding with Marjorie, crickets, birds, and rushing creeks. Fred showed Alice the mountainside alive with fireflies, millions of luminous bodies blending with stars, creating a moment of transcendent wonder. Similarly, Marjorie found solace riding through the mountains with her mule Charlie, describing it as heaven despite life's hardships. Yet, this same landscape posed constant dangers. Winter required multiple layers that made librarians nearly unrecognizable, while trails became treacherous. Summer brought oppressive heat, and the mountain's isolation meant medical help remained distant. The novel's most dramatic natural confrontation came during the devastating flood. After 5 days of rain, the librarians raced to warn residents, with Marjorie and Beth shouting evacuation orders while others saved library books. The librarians learned to navigate by landmarks, read weather patterns, and identify dangerous crossings, connecting them to mountain self-sufficiency while enabling their mission in what William Kenworth called the most beautiful place on earth and the most brutal. Van Cleve disguised personal vendettas as community concerns, framing library opposition as moral guardianship, minor exploitation as economic necessity, and attacks on Marjorie as justice. When confronted about unsafe mining conditions, he deflected blame. Marjorie later discovered his hidden slurry dams that collapsed during rains, sending toxic coal waste toward Baileyville. Even imprisoned, books gave Marjorie escape and connection. When drunk young men vandalized the library and targeted Sophia, the librarian's commitment to rebuild demonstrated that books weren't optional entertainment, but essential nourishment for opportunity-starved minds. Van Cleve's influence only diminished when enough citizens, particularly women, united against his narrative, proving collective courage could overcome entrenched power. The librarians' solidarity became their greatest strength against both natural disasters and human malice. The WPA's Packhorse Librarians of Kentucky program ran from 1935 to 1943. At its height, it brought books to more than 100,000 rural inhabitants. No program like it has ever been set up since. This remarkable yet fleeting initiative briefly illuminated remote communities before fading into history. The legacy persisted through changed lives. For Alice, the library provided escape from her stifling marriage and introduced her to genuine friendships and Fred's love. Her initial rebellion evolved into a purposeful life on her own terms. Marjorie grew from fierce independence to embracing connection through her relationship with Sven and their daughter, Virginia. For mountain families, the library delivered practical knowledge that transformed bleak homes into places of possibility, while providing information that protected them from exploitation. Most significantly, the library functioned as resistance against isolation, connecting remote communities to wider information sources. Though brief, the program's impact echoed through generations. Children first exposed to books grew up with broader horizons. The mountains remained one of the poorest and most beautiful places in the United States, but the planted seeds continued growing long after the final delivery.